This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Eden Pure. Spring is here, so spring cleaning is here too. Don't wait for the Eden Pure BioSpeed CleanVac to sell out again. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code HOWIECLEAN to save an additional $15. Shipping is free. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code HOWIECLEAN.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. The last time we checked in with George Mendoza from Monica's in the North End, he's the brother of Frank Mendoza, who's a frequent guest on our show. He's the co-owner of Monica's in the North End. He had been trying to take part in a meeting that was held by Mayor Wu. And at the last minute, she changed the meeting so that the North End restaurateurs could not fit in the room. There wasn't enough seats, or there wasn't enough room for them. And George gave a really inspiring speech, basically, where he said, you know, we have every right to be in there, and we have every right to make our voices heard, or at the very least to listen to what's about to happen to us. Because if you haven't been following the story in the North End, they're being fined if they have to pay an outdoor dining fee. And the rules and regulations in regards to outdoor dining is very different for restaurants in the North End than it is for other restaurants in Boston. And basically, it just makes you wonder why. Mayor Wu says it's for a variety of reasons, you know, that it's more, you know what, I'm going to let George explain. George, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Grace, thank you for having me. Thank you for all your help letting us put the word out there. Yeah, her policies keep on backfiring on her and affecting us, all the neighborhoods in Boston. The North thing is just the one that she's decided to pick on right now, but we hear from all other small businesses in the other different neighborhoods in the city who are complaining over the same things. The Jersey barriers are expensive, cumbersome, they're not biodegradable, you have to buy them, they cost a lot of money. The cost of the delivery of them, the fact that we created a vacuum, there are not enough Jersey barriers out there for all of us to have, which is going to cause a problem for construction sites and other things. I think she doesn't have the savvy or the resume, perhaps, to handle the affairs of the city. What she's done to our neighborhood is awful. We take off 1 square mile of the city of Boston. We contribute enormously. We have very high real estate taxes. Commercial real estate taxes are astronomical. That's something that nobody's brought up. Most of the restaurants in their leases pay for the commercial real estate taxes. And those monies go to do things we don't know about. And now they want more money to do the things that they don't do, like keeping our streets clean. I had a nice conversation with one of my longtime neighbors who's raising her family in the North End. And she is outraged about what they're doing to our businesses. And she's not a restaurateur. She's a local neighbor, very active in the neighborhood. And, you know, and also they are appalled about the fact that we look like we're a major construction site now when all these barriers are popping up everywhere. A day like today, for example, the North End is not open for outdoor dining. Our season starts in May, 1 month after the entire city. April is one of the busiest months after the winter and the marathon, the opening day at the garden.
But George, let me stop you there for a second. What, and I know she has given reasons for this, but can you explain it to the audience? What are her reasons why the North End is being treated differently? And give us some examples of how you're being treated differently beyond just the fact that you have to start later. It also affects the hours that you can keep your outdoor dining going, right?
Absolutely. We have to close at 9:30 during the week. We have to, on weekends, we can stay open till 10. The 9:30 closure means that it has to be evacuated, the patio has to be evacuated by 10. On the weekends, by 10:30. It's another handicap. On top of it, after you add a price tag to it, now you reduce your hours of operation. So you have to make that money back. People need to understand, restaurants are businesses. You know, we are not, you know, like our government, we don't print money, you know. We, work for that money, and it needs to. It comes from the proceeds that we collect from the charges we make to people for the goods we sell. And you know, how do you add that to a menu price? The outdoor patio fees from the city of Boston. It's impossible. You know, the hours of operation, the size of the patios. They send out a map of what the patios are going to look like. She favored all those who support her crazy policies, and the rest of us in the side streets, the older businesses, the family businesses from the North End, are getting tiny little patios. So how is it that the guy who has, you know, five parking spots in front of this huge place on Hanover Street pays $7,500, where the Mendozas on Prince Street get 20 feet and pay $7,500? How does this work? I mean, you know, the party of equity and fairness, you know, comes around and grabs a tiny minority in the city of Boston, the Italian folks of the North End, 70-plus businesses, and she targets us with, you know, loopholes. For instance, she changed the insurance demand on it. So at last minute, we get an email to change the insurance that we obtained for the patios, which is another atrocity because it costs another few thousand dollars a year. On top of the fact that now she moved the goalpost, you know, every neighborhood in the city can apply. I think the enrollment is open till June. We have to apply by Sunday. Okay, the funds that that she's collecting are going to go to a group of people that the liaisons for the neighborhood, not elected officials and not the citizens, are going to pick to distribute the funds in the North End between the beginning and the end of the patio season. That's almost $750,000. I mean, is this the way we're going to run the city of Boston, the way that our country is going to be run moving forward? This is not, it's not democracy, it's an atrocity, and it's a crime. It's a crime. She's committing a crime. She's discriminating against a group of business people. She's breaking commerce laws, okay? And she continues to do so by, you know, moving the goalposts, changing the rules, changing the venues, not including business owners, you know, all sorts of things that are not things that somebody in a leadership position should be doing. And if you are planning to run for office and you're thinking that you can get away with that, she's in for a rude awakening. You know, we're going to fight her all the way.
George Mendoza from Monica's in the North End. I want to ask you, what kind of response have you received from people, whether it be people who live in the North End or just people who have heard you on our show, on other programs? I know you've been really doing the media rounds. Have you been getting a lot of support from people?
Grace, I've been on the phone since the moment that we spoke up, the same way that my brother has been. We're getting calls from all over the place. We're getting calls from all over the country. We're getting offers for help from everywhere, okay? And we're also now receiving calls from other neighborhoods in the city, again, who are having issues because even the barriers are expensive. The insurance is expensive. Even if you don't have to pay the $7,500, you know, the industry is on a medicine drip, you know what I mean? We are on intensive care right now, okay? And we cannot come out of intensive care if our government is going to kick us while we're down, okay? And that's what she's doing. She's doing what her party does. You know, it's been said many times. There's all sorts of, you know, little quotes out there, kick them while they're down, you know what I mean? And that's what they're doing. And they're targeting us because we're an easy target right now. We are the oldest neighborhood in the city, okay? We are a history book of what's taking place in Boston over the centuries, okay? They are against history, okay? They are against European descent, okay? They took our Columbus statue out. We sponsor that park. Businesses in the North End, our neighbors in the North End, pitched in over years to sponsor that park, to keep it up, to upkeep it. And they took the statue away. They changed the name of a holiday that Italians have celebrated with the Columbus Day Parade, okay? And they call it the Native People Parade. You know, what is it about the culture of Italians that is so offensive to Mayor Wu? And why is it that they think that we're going to let them pick on us that way? You know, it just doesn't make sense. You know, and I don't understand why somebody takes on a position like that and start picking little fights along the way and then complains about people bothering her. She changed the heckling rules because she was being heckled by first responders who were going to her home to complain about the mandates that were affecting their lives. She wants to impose on people, but she wants to do it from a high castle somewhere where the rest of us have no way to get to, you know? And you know, Marie Antoinette. She reminds me of Marie Antoinette, you know, give them cake.
Yeah, let them eat cake. And George, something you said in there really interests me and really makes me happy, and that is that you're hearing from restaurants that aren't just in the North End, from other parts of the city, because I think that was kind of the problem 2 years ago when they shut everything down, is that there were certain restaurants who felt like, listen, if I'm just friendly with Charlie Baker, if I'm friendly with Mayor Walsh, if it, you know, at the time it was Walsh, if I just play along and if I go along to get along and I don't make them look bad or I don't complain, then maybe they'll help me out. Maybe I'll be okay. But the truth is that the restaurant industry, you have power in numbers only. So you need to use those numbers.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, okay, the larger restaurant groups, okay, within the North End and outside of the North End, the ones that are included in the Massachusetts Restaurant Association and so forth, okay, know for a fact that you have to play with them. If you don't play with them, you're not going to get your permits, you're not going to get your thing. So people are realizing. I've been in business in Boston for 30 years, okay, and, you know, I'm a conservative in a city plagued with Democrats and liberals. I work with everybody because I understand where I am, and I try to pick the best out of what's available. But the people know, and the North End right now, for example, people are petrified of participating or being boisterous and sharing their opinion because they're going to be targeted. They target us. I mean, like I said, Prince Street has two restaurants on Prince Street on that block. My brother's in one corner, and Asajus and the other. My brother has 20 feet of outdoor patio, has 77 seats inside, has four bathrooms, is handicap accessible, has handicap bathrooms. Okay, that's another one. The party of, you know, the bright, the smart, the ones that know more, okay, are not using simple tactics. It should be a percentage of your seats in your restaurant. If you have 100, you get, let's say, 25%, okay? Up to a certain point. 30 seats or more, you get 10 seats. And the facilities are what makes the restaurant capacity. You understand? You need to have the facilities. You know, you can't have a restaurant with 20 seats, have 50 seats outside. They're paying favoritism. So you have little sandwich shops with 50 seats outside. You got big restaurants with 5 seats outside. You know? And then they're talking about enforcing code on the patios, on the outdoor patios. How do you enforce code in an outdoor patio in a restaurant that has 18 seats inside? They have 50 seats outside and don't have a bathroom. That's happening all over Boston. So they are picking winners and losers, okay? Then they are letting neighborhood liaisons pick their friends and their buddies, target their enemies, you know? It's not a problem of this administration. Walsh had the same issues.
Yeah.
People are corrupt. They want to go around and take revenge on those who didn't support them, okay? They want to favor those who are going to vote for them again.
Yeah.
Okay? And another thing, Boston has become a platform for people who want to do something else. When are we going to get somebody who gets elected to serve Boston and is committed to serving Boston instead of working on a platform to get her next job in Washington like Walsh did?
Yeah, no, George, you made so many good points, George. I have to hold you there. But, George, I want you to tell people where they can find your restaurant, how they can come and support you, because it's always the number one question after you come on the show.
Monica's is in the North End. We got two restaurants, Monica's Trattoria on Prince Street, on 67 Prince Street, Vinoteca di Monica on 143 Richmond Street. All our neighbors need help too. So if you can support a local restaurant and you feel like Italian tonight, go to the North End. There's a good story behind every front door, and there's a family last name behind every business. Support your local businesses. Support the local community on the North End, and your neighbors, your friends, the people that are always there for you.
George Mendoza, we love having you on. Come on the show again soon, okay?
Thank you very much, Grace, again for all your help. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys. I always say to people, everyone always says, oh, thanks for using your voice. I'm like, yeah, I love to talk about this stuff. I care about it, but it's easier for me. It's my job. You know, people want me to talk about it. It's harder for guys like George Mendoza. He just wants to run a restaurant. He didn't ask for this. He didn't ask for this spotlight, but I give them so much credit for speaking out and for being brave enough and not being afraid of being canceled or being targeted, because we're at a point now where these places aren't going to survive if people are afraid. The only way to beat this this kind of discrimination, is to stand up against it. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect when it comes to dentistry. He's the best at what he does. He fixes your teeth, your smile, but what he really does is he builds the self-confidence of his patients. When you have a smile that you're proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and in your personal life. The better you look, the better you feel. And that helps every aspect of your life, every interaction you have daily. If you're not afraid to smile, every other part of life becomes a lot easier. It's a new year and you have the opportunity to make 2022 the year for a new you. If you've thought about Perfect Smiles but never called, this year take care of yourself. You deserve it. Call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They're conveniently located off of Route 3 and they have plenty of parking. You can reach them at PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. We'll be right back with your calls. It's 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I have some very exciting news right now, Matt. You know what time it is? It's time to announce our gas giveaway winner. The winner wins $50 for gas money. And you are winning this from my show, but you can also win it from the Howie Carr Show. All you have to do is go to GraceCurlyShow.com and sign up for a chance to win $50 in gas money each weekday in April. It's brought to you, as always, by Tire Tutor, the first e-commerce marketplace for tires, bridging the gap between online shoppers and local tire shops. Your tires affect your gas mileage, so Tire Tutor saves you time and money by finding the tire at a location close to you. And the winner of the gas giveaway for today is Wayne. Congratulations, Wayne.
You won! You did it!
You won $50 for gas from Howie and Grace. Look for an email from store@HowieCarShow.com with instructions. All right, now the media is being very silent, as Matt Vespa points out in Town Hall, over the staffers who continually keep, that's repetitive, but continually keep resigning from Kamala Harris's administration. She has lost a lot of her top aides, and it makes sense why. I mean, this her administration has been a disaster. And now you have Pete Buttigieg, and he is the Secretary of Transportation, and he was on with The Breakfast Club today. And Charlemagne the God asked him if he understands that a lot of people don't think Democrats have been keeping their promises. Take a listen to this wonderful answer from Mayor Pete Cut 10.
You do realize, Pete, a lot of black people feel like Democrats have kept no promises since they've been in office.
Really?
Really? Yeah, really. In fact, I would say a lot of people in general, not just black people, I would say a lot of Democrats feel like the Biden administration has not kept their promises. And in fact, according to new polls, Rasmussen approached the question a little differently and got some interesting results. More than half of American voters say that President Joe Biden has been bad for the country's future, and fewer than a third want him to be reelected in 2024. This is according to John Hinderacher in Powerline blog. He's referencing a Rasmussen poll. And 42% think it would be better for America if former President Donald Trump is elected again in 2024. But they cannot believe that people are not thrilled with the current state of the country. And on top of that, they never seem to want to address so many of the issues that we are facing. You know, they want to talk about how Republicans were mean to Ketanji Brown Jackson during the confirmation hearings. They don't want to talk about inflation. And actually, the White House was getting so out of control, so angry at the mainstream media because the media is being so mean to them. A White House staffer berated Politico for insufficiently touting historic Biden wins. So this White House Deputy Communications Director, Kate Berner, she saw a tweet from West Wing Playbook that was talking about some things that were happening in the Biden administration. And she responded back that she couldn't find any coverage of all the historic things that were happening at the Biden administration. I have a tip for Kate. You should do what Jen Psaki's doing. You should leave, and then you can write the tweets for Politico. You can go work for one of these left-wing rags. 844-500-4242. We'll be back with your calls on the border. I see you waiting there. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Before we go to the call, stay right there. I just wanted to give you this update from Ken Delaney and from NBC. Huge blow to the FBI. Zero guilty verdicts in the case of the alleged plot to kidnap Michigan governor. That would be Gretchen Whitmer. Not guilty verdict for three. Hung jury on the alleged ringleader per Pete Williams at NBC. That is not good for the FBI. That bites for them. Good news for us, though. 844-500-4242. Because, of course, the whole situation was that the FBI informants were coming up with these ideas to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer. And then they foiled their own plan that they concocted. That's your FBI hard at work. When they're not collecting Lego sets, they are coming up with kidnapping plots. Let's talk a little bit, though, about the border, because there's an interesting thing happening. Title 42 is being rescinded. At the same time, we're supposed to believe that that's because COVID is no longer a threat, because Title 42 was like a health measure you could take to deport migrants or illegal aliens when they come into the country fairly quickly. You could expedite the process because of Title 42. But because we're being told that COVID's over, we no longer need Title 42, according to the left. At the same time, we need funding for COVID, according to Jen Psaki, or else we're all going to die. And then at the same time, just to add one more layer to this trifle of nonsense, we are told that Joe Biden kissing Nancy Pelosi does not count as close contact. Matt, could I have that cut, please? Cut seven.
How can you guys say that President Biden was not a close contact with Speaker Pelosi when there is video of the speaker kissing him?
Well, Peter, the way that it is defined is by the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, and their definition of it is 15 minutes of contact within a set period of time and within 6 feet. It did not meet that bar. It does not mean that that no one will get COVID around the world who does not have a close contact. It just means we are defining for all of you whether the president and their interaction met the definition of the CDC of a close contact.
But this kiss. So magical. That's a great song. Is that Faith Hill? Great find, Matt. That was really yeah, but here's the thing I don't get. Okay, so we are saying that it's not doesn't meet the definition of a close contact, but we're also not saying that that doesn't mean that he can't get COVID from Nancy Pelosi. So what does the close contact mean then? Doesn't it become meaningless if it doesn't determine whether or not you're going to get COVID? Why do we need to know what that is then? By the way, I would consider a wet one from Nancy Pelosi on your cheek pretty close enough contact for me. I can tell you that much. Tom, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
That's a great show that you have. I really enjoy listening to you.
Thank you, sir.
And I was just wondering, with these states, with the federal government's letting them down with the border, could they pass executive actions to replace, if they take away Title 42, to have their own type of Title 42 to try to protect their borders and stop them from crashing across the border?
It's a good question, Tom. I don't have the answer for you. I know that in the past, Abbott and other governors from other bordering states have, you know, used the National Guard. They have used things like that. I don't know what they could do. At one point, I think it was Abbott who was they were issuing like a trespassing law or something, so that if they found gotaways going through someone's property, then they could detain some of the illegal aliens. But I don't know if that ended up being as efficient or successful as they had hoped. It's unfortunate because a lot of this does depend on the federal government, and they have zero interest in stopping. That's the part of this people need to understand. You know, it's not that they're failing at the mission here. It's that their mission is chaos. Their mission is to just let people come over the border. They don't have any sort of set plan. Their mission is to come off as humane by doing nothing. And it's the least humane thing you could do in these circumstances. And also, though, it just, It's insulting to American people that we still have to wear masks on airplanes and toddlers in New York City still need to wear masks when they go to school. And yet, hordes of people coming over the border, who a lot of whom have diseases and health issues, there's no vaccine requirement from coming over the border. There's none whatsoever. So it's this massive double standard that almost feels like it feels insulting to people. How are you going to tell me on one hand, oh, hey, you're due for your 75th booster, and then on the other hand, you're saying we have to rescind Title 42? How does that square up? Billy, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Thanks for the call, Tom. Go ahead, Billy.
Hey, Grace, thanks for taking the call. Boy, that Jen Psaki, she's wretched, huh? Anyway, I'll be as quick as possible. I was on a flight back from Arizona last June, and there was a family escorted into the terminal. The sizing, what was still fresh on their clothes, that you could tell they were brand new clothes right off the rack. They were escorted down the gangway before first class, before veterans. They were seated in the back of the plane. They had a flight attendant, almost like a security guard. You couldn't use the restrooms in the rear of the plane unless the line from the restrooms in the front of the plane was three or more, then they allowed you, but the flight attendant was standing right there. When the flight landed in Boston, I waited. I did not see them come up the gangway. So if people in Boston and Mass think this isn't happening here, it is. Believe me, it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what airline it was. It's a mass. It's a tube of misery anyway. So I don't know what airlines it was.
Yeah, but this is something that we've been seeing, and that's why Abbott said, "Listen, we'll bus people to D.C." And Ron DeSantis has come up with this too. I think he said we'll bus people to Delaware. But now, according to Jen Psaki, they're not allowed to compel people to get on a bus. That's something that only the president can do. He can compel people to get on planes and go places and, you know, oh, come in. Oh, no, don't come here. That's all his job. But, you know, governors who are trying to look out for the people in their state, that goes beyond their duties. And it really does just show you the not in my backyard mentality that these limousine liberals have. All right. It's fine as long as they're not in D.C., as long as these illegal aliens don't come to D.C. Well, why not? If it's so wonderful, you know, if you're so passionate about getting them in here, then why don't you welcome them with open arms? It's like when Mayor Marty Walsh said he was going to open City Hall for all the illegal aliens to sleep in. I'll do you one better, Marty. How about you open up your home? How about you let them come sleep in your house? But they never actually... They don't want to follow through with these things. They just want to say them. And they just want to wreak havoc on states like Texas. And I can't imagine being in Texas. Imagine if you were in like a border town and you see this going on. It must drive you crazy. Lee, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lee.
Well, Grace, a couple things. They're here. I just saw two panhandlers and they had Spanish signs. And I must have saw 50 people working today, and I didn't hear a word of English. They're landscaping, tree cutting, they're doing all kinds of stuff. Maybe they want them here to do these jobs we want to do. Do I sound too George Bush? But, Grace, help me out. Do people want these people here? It seems like they're everywhere. Maybe they'll start throwing them out when they start panhandling on every corner up here in Concord and Bedford and everything.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound... Hold on, Lee. I don't want to sound... I want to be very cautious of sounding, you know, overly judgmental here, because I know there are people who come here and there are good people who come here too. It's not all, you know... I never want to cast a broad brush, so let me just say that right from the get-go. But we have to have a more fair system, because otherwise, when people do come here legally, and, you know, I've met people who have come from other countries, and the process that it takes for them to come here, the process that it takes to get their families here is so extensive and so expensive. And what you're doing is you're de-incentivizing people from going through this the right way and from doing this legally. And that's not fair. It's never fair if you have a line of people and then some people get to cut the line. That just doesn't work. And I hope that people realize that when I talk about this, that is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I judge people. I'm not saying anything like that. All I'm saying is we have to have rules. We're a country that has to have borders. If we do not have secure borders, we're going to cease to exist. And we're already kind of seeing the repercussions of this. And as much as it sounds nice to say, well, everyone should be able to come in here whenever they want, it's the reality of it is so much scarier than that. And we've really lost track of what we're supposed to do as a country to make the immigration process fair and legal. 844-500-4242. I am going to be back when after the break, and we're going to talk to Howie Carr. But first, let's do today's poll question. It's brought to you by the Eden Pure BioSpeed CleanVac. Spring is here, so spring cleaning is here, too. Don't wait for the BioSpeed CleanVac to sell out. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code GRACECLEAN to save an additional $25. Shipping is free. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACECLEAN. Matt, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Who gave the worst answers at the Atlantic's Disinformation and Erosion of Democracy Conference? Ann Applebaum, Jonah Goldberg, or Brian Stelter?
Brian Stelter.
He's still in the lead with 54%.
And I wanted to let people know, here's some good news, because I don't want to end Friday on a bad note. According to Nick Arema from Red State, there are a lot of indicators that November is going to be a big red wave for Republicans. And Republicans in Pennsylvania are registering former Democrats at four times the rate that Democrats are doing the opposite conversion. One of the big things animating the switch, they're upset with Biden about inflation and violent crime. Reuters examined registration data in six states that could see tight U.S. Senate races in November, and which generally require voters to be members of a party to participate in nominating contests. While each state tracks voter registration differently, the review pointed to Republican gains in four of those states and no substantial difference in two of them. The biggest jump was in Pennsylvania. It may be the highest in a decade, with the GOP doing far better than in 2016 when the Republicans won the White House as well as the House and the Senate. 844-500-4242. That's some good news for you. That's some good news for you. People are leaving California. They're leaving New York. And I don't think they're bringing their voting with them. I think that people who are leaving places and moving, or who live in a place and decide to switch to the other party, I think it's because people are waking up. Don't tell that to Joy Behar, though. Can we play this cut, Matt? Joy Behar was on The View, and I believe it was Leanne Rimes who was there as a guest, and she was joking around about how she told the crowd that she was from California, and they booed. And Joy Behar, who's supposedly a comedian, could not understand this. Cut 13.
Assaulted on stage, although people are very touchy these days. I was in Florida recently, yeah. And I got booed on stage for saying that I lived in California, which was actually the highlight of my career, by the way.
What? Why would they do that?
I was just talking about where I was from, and they just don't happen to like Californians, but that was okay, because we went back and talked about the fact that I was from Mississippi, and we were all good. So
then we were friends again.
So
they just go after an entire state.
We not laugh a little bit sometimes here about Texas and Florida?
We also were laughing about it, I have to say. I mean, it became funny.
State.
I was like, we don't
state,
agree.
But we, yeah, I think that's the
she
point.
She is such a miserable person. She's a comedian. She can't understand that. Leanne Rimes has to explain the joke to her because that's how far gone she is. She might be like one of the most top five Trump deranged. It has totally crushed her. It has broken her. It has radicalized her, as the guy from Twitter said about Elon Musk. Paul, go ahead. You're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. Hi, Grace. Let me just say, big fan of the show. I've seen you come up with Howie Carr, and I'm just, your family must be proud because you definitely do your homework.
Oh, thank you, Paul.
Having said that, you were talking about the border crisis a little while ago, and I tuned in, and I think the compromise between the Republicans and the Democrats should be like this. I mean, I say stop, secure the border, number one, go back to that, And then, yes, we'll let all these people stay here, but they can never vote. We'll give them some sort of permanent visa status, but they can never cast a vote in an election. That way you collect taxes off them, everybody's happy, they're working, and if the Democrats are truly about helping people, wouldn't they go along with that?
No, they absolutely not. Would not, Paul. You know that answer, but I think it's a good idea, but they would not. They, in fact, when Trump, I think at one point during his presidency, it was fairly early on, he offered up a deal for the DACA recipients, and the left, these people like Nancy Pelosi and AOC, who constantly talk about illegal aliens and helping people, they dismissed the deal. Like, they didn't even give it a second glance because they thought the deal would, another part of the deal would make Trump look good, and they couldn't have that. So it just goes to show you, they only like using these victims as far as their political expediency, like if it makes their argument, if they can use it, you know, on NBC or on CNN. But to actually get a deal done for people who wanted it, they had no interest, zero interest. They just brushed it under the rug and moved on. 844-500-4242. Thanks for the call, Paul. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Today's car crossover is brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth, the house of value. Stop it and experience car buying the way you want it to be. When I leased my RAV4 there, it was like no other place I had shopped. They really care about what's best for you, so visit thehouseofvalue.com. Howie Carr, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
All right, now, Howie, we've been doing a lot of talking today about this disinformation and the erosion of democracy panel that The Atlantic was hosting. It was like a conference, right? And
right.
There was a lot of funny clips from it. These students, these college freshmen, actually destroyed the mainstream media elites.
Yeah. I'm very impressed with the quality of students at the University of Chicago. Apparently, it hasn't declined as much, as precipitously, as most institutions of higher learning.
I would agree. Well, I have the best cut for you. We saved the best for last. This just came out. The Atlantic editor-in-chief is calling the Chicago Thinkers Reporting, those are the college freshmen, a disinformation campaign. Can we hear this, Matt?
I think one darkly humorous but inevitable measurement of our success is that our disinformation conference has been the subject of disinformation campaigns on social media already. So, yeah. Congratulate yourselves for that.
Isn't this the same guy who made up the story about President Trump calling the suckers and losers? Yeah, suckers and losers.
I believe
right.
So, but I'd have to double check that. Now, Howie, the Chicago Thinker responded. This is the group of students on Twitter.
Right.
They said, and just like that, Jeffrey Goldberg proved our point. First rule in the corporate media's playbook, dismiss truthful reporting as disinformation to avoid accountability, a fitting end to the conference. I would
right.
absolutely agree.
It's the Alinsky strategy in Chicago, of all places. You know, accuse them of what you're doing.
Yeah, kudos to those students. Keep it up. We'll be back next week. This is The Grace Curley Show.